Thank you for this time and moment. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to be alive. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity again to be all here together today. And also thank you for all the visitors that we have this week, family members, and we enjoy those times together. Thank you also for your scripture, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything. We worship you, we praise you, because we declare that you are our Lord always, every time. In the name of Jesus Christ, this moment, we ask you, Lord, to continue blessing us through your scripture. Be you speaking to the church, not me. So please, with a humble heart, we ask you, remove me out of the picture and be you talking to the church as you also talk to me, and continue blessing our life to be more and more in relationship with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. The music. You can change this slide. Thank you. Okay, so we are starting this season talking about Advent, right? So I want to talk a little bit about that. And God put on my heart something about starting, like today with Kathy and Rudy, we like to talk about something special that God brings in our heart. And I believe it's a great blessing, this topic, and it's going to continue growing and growing in our hearts and minds to continue being in relationship with Him. And I hope the same thing for you guys. And just to give a little bit more of definition of the Advent, you guys know maybe for sure more than me about it, right? So the Advent is coming from a Latin word adventus, which it means coming. So it's talking about coming, the first coming of Jesus Christ. But then how is that related right now for us? Because right now, we already experienced the first coming of Jesus Christ. There's other people that we know that they're still waiting that first coming, right? Yeah, not us. We already experienced the first coming of Jesus Christ. He already came here, and we are waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ over here. And that's amen. That's what we believe. That's what we trust. And we have the confidence that that's what's happening right now in our life. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first one, it happened already. He was here on the earth in the flesh, God, through Jesus Christ. And He showed up everything that we are experiencing today in relationship with God. So that's the plan and goal and target. But in order to have a coming in your life, something has to be happening pre or before that in order to have the experience of coming, which is going to be a hope. And that's the topic that I want to share with you guys today, which is pretty much the first candle, a hope. You are hoping something. We hope a lot of stuff, right? I hope that everything goes well. I hope that we receive a healing in our life. I hope my kids will be safe. I hope my mom and dad will be safe. I hope that my mom and my dad will be healed. I hope, and you will continue with a lot of hopes. It's really rare, but maybe there's some evilness in this comment that I want to say right now, that you will say, I hope this negative thing happened to this person. But the majority of the hope is always positive, right? It's always, I hope something better is going to happen in my life. I hope that something good is going to happen, not negative. But yeah, there might be some evil mind or hearts that they will hope something negative in the life of someone else. But the point here, it is that to receive the advent, to receive the coming of Jesus Christ, there was a hope. And the hope is happening because God talked, God speak or spoke to some peoples and then prophesy. That's a prophecy. And that's what you can see in the whole Old Testament. all the Old Testament, it was talking about this coming of Jesus Christ, this coming of the Son, this person that he will be here on the earth, and he will do something to restore the relationship that we have with God, that we're supposed to have with God, which is the main purpose of the creation. He will restore everything. So that's a hope. They have that hope because someone prophesied and say, we will receive this blessing. We will be restored. We will be again to the beginning. And that's bringing you the hope. But if no one is telling you that, or you're not hearing anything, a prophecy from anyone else, will you have hope? What will be your hope? And now let's say, okay, Jesus Christ never happened. God never happened. That's not true. It's not real. Why are you walking on the earth? What is your purpose? What is your hope in life? Having a better house? Having a better car? Having 5 kids or 2 or 1? What is your hope? That hope is really a concrete hope that is going to be sufficient for your life, that it will be fulfilling your life? According to the scripture, everything on earth, it will stay over here. Everything on earth, it will be consumed. Everything on earth, it will be just vanished. The same like you and me when we die, when we pass. So what is that hope in our life? If it's really something that makes sense, it's giving me some pushing to move forward in my life, it's really fulfilling my life, that hope. Because there's a thousand, millions, billions of people, including myself, that we have hopes. But the one and only one hope that we should have is Jesus Christ in our life. Because that's the concrete one, that's the solid one that is real. That he fulfilled everything in the Old Testament. And whatever he say, whatever he stipulate when he was here on the earth, and whatever is here in the scripture, we believe that it's going to happen. We trust that it's going to happen. But then we have situations in our life that is always trying to remove us out of that hope. Which is things that is happening in our life that we think and we believe that is taking the first place in our life. And that hope, like I say, it's a hope that it will be vanishing. Yes, we want a better life. Yes, we want a better house. Yes, we want a better, maybe family, I don't know, but more kids, less kids or whatever. I don't know what you want. Everyone have hopes. But the one of Jesus Christ, that one, it lasts forever. It will not vanish. It will be fulfilling everything in your life. If we have that one, oh my goodness. Okay. So when we read the scripture, we can learn a lot about different prophecies. According to the theologians, there's one saying that there's like 576 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ. There's other one that says 454 or something like that. There's other one that says 300. But for example, God promised a stone that people will trip over. Jesus is that stone. God promised to send a son who will be God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is that son. You see the compliance of that. Jesus complied with those and he fulfilled those prophecies. So that was the hope of the people. And we're talking about that when Isaiah says something or prophesies something about Jesus Christ, it was 700 years. Approximately 700 years that was fulfilled. And I know, I'm there. I want to see it tomorrow. I want to see it today, the promises from God. But sometimes they will take some time. But that hope will continue lasting forever if you continue trusting in that hope. Never let it go. Never let go Jesus Christ from your life. We can continue talking about, for example, God promised a time when the lame, The lame will be healed. Jesus healed that. God promised a time when the deaf will hear. Jesus did that. God promised a time when blind will see. Jesus did that. A lot of prophecies. And we can continue talking about all 300 of them. And the people listen to that. And people will wait and say, I'm waiting for that. And again, there's some people today, as of today, that they're still waiting for that. They have that hope. But they maybe get it the wrong way. Because that hope that they're still waiting, we already believe that hope was fulfilled. And now we have a new hope in our life. And that's what I want to share with you guys today. Those new hope that we have. Let me share with you guys, for example, Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Prophecy and happened. It was fulfilled. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Prince. Fulfill. Matthew 1:21, it says, she will give birth, thank you, Becca, for sharing that, to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive. Fulfillment. That's already done. That hope is fulfilled. We have a new one. Luke 24:45. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. Hope. My Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Holy Spirit. That's the hope that you are and I have right now. We have that hope, and we have it in us. But there's, again, people that they're still waiting for that. James 2:5, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love him. That's the promise. That's the hope that you and I are walking by as of today. We have that promise. We have the confidence that these things are going to happen in our life. That we have it right now. James 1:12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised. Hallelujah. To those who love him. Do you really believe in that? Because if you really believe in that, that's your hope right now. Because you're not seeing it. That's not fulfilled yet, maybe in your life. But it will be, because you are just taking that hope and you're walking by that. Because you are believing in that. You're trusting in that. You have the faith that everything that it was fulfilled, it will be also fulfilling all those scriptures that you are receiving right now. That's your hope. That's my hope. 2 Peter 3:13, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Hallelujah. New earth, new heaven, promise from God. That's my hope. I believe in that. I'm trusting that that's going to happen, and that's what we are supposed to walk by. Again, we can hope anything on earth, but that's really solid, that's true, Yeah, that's fine. We can do that. But if it's not fulfilling in your life, what is going to happen after that? Maybe frustration, disappointment. This one is not going to create that in your life. Why? Okay, let's go to the scripture. Let's go to Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to start from verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear, thank you, Chris, he swore by himself. By who? By himself. Normally when people swear, right? They swear by someone greater than them, according to scripture. Because you have to swear by something more greater than you, so that way you can use that as a reference to say, well, this is bigger than me, it's more powerful than me, it's bigger and manage everything bigger than me, all my problems and situations, so let me swear by that because I cannot handle that. So, according to scripture, when you swear by something greater, that's what the people are doing, that it will be fulfilled. But according to this scripture, it says that God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. Saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. You know how many years passed, right? 25. In Abraham. He was old. You know the story. He promised a child, a kid, the first, in 25 years. And sometimes you and me, we get desperate for just one day, 24 hours, right? I don't know when the promise that God give you or give me is going to be in compliance or it will be fulfilled, sorry. It's going to happen anyway. Because he swore by himself that he will give you that promise to you. It says here, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Easy, right? We have an argument and then we say, you know what? I swear by blah, blah, blah that we're going to make this happen. That I will give you this or whatever. And boom, end of the argument. He's going to do it. Some people are not faithful and then they will break that. But God will not break his promise with you. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the hearers, thank you, of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, he who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. What is those two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie? That was the question. What was those two things? What is those two things? And I was reading and learning and studying, and it says the two immutable things about God is his nature and his promises. And that's supposed to motivate you and me to continue moving forward in this life, believing in Christ and having Christ in our life, So that way we have those promises that he say. He's not a liar. According to scripture, he's not a man to lie. There's two immutable things from him. His nature. He's a truth. He's truth. So whatever he says is going to happen. And if he's saying a promise to your life, walk by that. Because it's going to happen. See the beautiful of this. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Okay, let's just stop over there. Because I was just going to share two things. And the first one, it was the hope of glory. And the second one is the anchor. That's the two points that I want to share about this scripture. What is an anchor? Simple. You know that. If we talk about a boat, an anchor is that piece that is you throw from the bow just to hold the bow in place, to stabilize that boat over there. Because you want to be steady over there, you don't want to move to any other place. Okay? So that's the anchor. That's the hope that the writer is specifying over here. Now that you throw that anchor in your life, it's not going to move you to any other place that the enemy will like to move you. That's the hope according to scripture. Now, what is the reason of having an anchor in your life? Because if everything is nice, you don't need the anchor, correct? Oh, you're just flowing. It's beautiful here. The weather is nice. The environment is good. Windy, breezy on the ocean, right? Really nice. But no, you are putting it over there because you want to be stable, because something, it might be going to move you out of the position. It can be a storm. It can be circumstances. It can be anything. So that's why you're throwing that. The hope, purpose in the life is because you have problems, issues, circumstances. Otherwise, why you have the hope? Right? For what? Then I don't need the hope. Everything is nice and beautiful. But I need the hope. And because I need the hope, I need the problems. So that way the hope can hold me in position. And what is the hope? The hope of glory. Let's go to Colossians really quick. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. We're going through. Sorry, Jeanette. I'm going to start from 24. I think I put over there from 25 or 26. Sorry. Colossians chapter 1, 24, it says, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. This is Paul. And I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. It says, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people, the church, the believers. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, who? The hope of glory. Christ is the hope of glory. Christ is in you. So you have the hope of glory in you. And now that you have the hope of glory in you, problems, circumstances, come. Because I have the hope of glory, and I'm not going to move anywhere. I'm not going to move anywhere. Because I'm having that hope of glory in my life. I'm not going to move to any other places. Just continuing having a relationship with you, God. Having a beautiful relationship with you, which is the main hope from ages. The mystery from thousands of years that you and I, we already believe if fulfilled by Jesus Christ. There's other people that they don't believe in that. They're still waiting for that. Now, what is your hope of glory? They were waiting the second coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's go really quick to Revelation 22:20. It says, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. That's the last verse in the Bible. There's nothing else after that. Boom. Done. And that's why you and I were walking by. Believing in that. Trusting in that. Having the confidence that that's going to fulfill everything. Continue believing in the hope of glory. Continue using it as an anchor in your life. Let me finish with Hebrews 6. We were there. And it says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Thank you. Okay? That's the high priest, Jesus Christ, right now. You know the whole system in the Old Testament. The high priest have to go over there once a year to present the sin for his sin, and also for the whole nation. Now Jesus Christ is sitting by the right hand of God right now, all the moment, every time. All the moment, right? It's over there. So you can reach him anytime, which is priceless. It's amazing. You have it over there right now. So you go over there at any moment, and then you ask him, God, Jesus Christ, please forgive me. Help me continue building my relationship with God. I want you to clean my sins, clean me, purify me, remove everything in my life. Put me more closer to God. That way I can be fulfilled of that purpose and promise that you have with me, which is restoring my life with my God and Creator. So that's the purpose of the hope, and that's the hope of glory that we should have experienced in our life. The fulfillment of God's promise to restore creation and people, the knowledge that God is transforming people and that one day they will be able to see Christ face to face, the strength that hope gives to remain close to the Lord and keep on eyes of the kingdom of heaven, the hope that we have is a virtue that we have. The scripture is talking about love, it's talking about faith, and it's talking about hope. And the hope is coming and is manifesting and is creating that strength during those problems and situations. That's why we have the hope of glory, Jesus Christ in our life, and also is with you. Titus 1:1. Paul, when he was writing the letter, he opened the letter saying, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now at his appointed season he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Savior. From the beginning, he promised that. Some people say that it's like 7,000 years. Some other people say 4,000 years. I don't know. The number, it can be 2 years, 1 year, thousands of years. But the hope, it is there. That is his word. and he's not a liar. We're talking about God. He will fulfill his promise in our life. Use that as an anchor, and that will be continuing helping us to continue walking in faith by him. The last one that I want to share with you guys is John 14. John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. In other words, you have the control. Don't let that happen. Don't let that control your life. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus Christ talking. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? I'm telling you this for a reason. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Thank you for that opportunity. We worship you and praise you. Thank you for the blessing of giving us the knowledge of understanding this scripture, that you have the control of everything in our life, that we have our hope in you, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, continue helping us. Continue supporting us to continue walking in relationship with you, so that way our hope, it will be just in you. Not anything else, not anyone else, just in you. Because you promised that. You swear that by yourself, which you are not a liar, which your nature is truth. Thank you for that opportunity, and thank you for that blessing. We do not deserve this. So we praise you, we worship you, and we declare all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.